It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
This cyber attack is believed to be the biggest of its kind ever recorded. The global attack Friday affecting more than 70 countries, including the U.S., Russia, the U.K., Spain, China, and India. Chillingly, experts say hackers used a cyber attack method stolen from the U.S. government's National Security Agency. Hackers then used this NSA cyber code to spread a virus that infected Windows computer systems with ransomware known as WannaCry. Ransomware is software that enters a computer through spam email. Once an email is opened up, it locks up a computer's data and it demands that a user pay a ransom or risk losing their data completely. The ransom demanding $300 and then increasing over time to $600. This attack affecting everything from telecommunications industries to governments. FedEx Corporation in the U.S., British hospitals and medical centers, the Russian Interior Ministry, French car maker Renault, and others. Hospitals across Britain found themselves without access to computers or phones. Hospitals forced to cancel routine procedures. Emergency room services were scaled down. The U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May called this attack on hospitals absolutely disgusting.
Europol has said that it is unprecedented in terms of the scale of the cyber attack that has taken place. The National Cyber Security Centre is working with all organisations here in the UK that have been affected.
Microsoft says they released a security update for customers and they're asking that they go to their blog to download it. In a statement, a spokesman for Microsoft says, quote, those who are running Microsoft's free antivirus software or have Windows Update enabled are protected. Given the potential impact to customers and their businesses, Microsoft released updates for Windows XP, 8, and Windows Server 2003.
All right, Brian, Yenis, Fox News, that's what happened on Friday, and I'm sure you heard that. That's something I can't explain. I can't even add to. I think he said all we need to know. Who's doing this? As we understand it, it's criminal enterprise. It's not some nation state. I guess that's good news, although who knows? And the irony is that they allegedly used the abilities of the NSA, which have been stolen, tapped, hacked into, to do this criminal enterprise. It's just, it does remind you of the chaos that we're entering in, doesn't it? Just chaos and everything. One thing you have to know is there is a concerted effort. This will not be news to any of you paying attention. The end game in our country is to destroy Donald Trump, to get rid of him, to get him out of office, to impeach him, to remove him, and of course, Pence after him. It won't stop with Donald Trump. I heard some people say, well, if Donald Trump, something happens to him, we'll have Mike Pence, and he's wonderful, so what's the problem? Well, trust me, they won't stop with Donald Trump. In fact, I heard a protester shouting in another video, to remove Trump and Pence. This is not going to stop. It's like a terrible cancer, honestly, in the heart and soul of the nation. And I'm not saying they're going to win this. I'm not. I think one of the reasons they're so rabid and out of control is because they haven't won. And I have to tell you that President Trump is continuing to do some really fine things. I'm going to tell you about some of them. Before I do that, President Trump was at Liberty University over the weekend giving his first graduation address, and I thought that you might enjoy hearing just a little bit of it. Here it is.
The future belongs to the dreamers, not to the critics. The future belongs to the people who follow their heart no matter what the critics say, because they truly believe in their vision. When the pilgrims landed At Plymouth, they prayed. When the founders wrote the Declaration of Independence, they invoked our Creator four times. Because in America, we don't worship government, we worship God.
You know, all right, so he gave his speech. The students received him well. In fact, a lot of them made wore Make America Great Again hats, which, of course, drives the media crazy. But, you know, I think it's interesting to me the evolution of Donald Trump on the issue of God. It was stark and remarkable to me when he was running for president. He never seemed to acknowledge God or he just never seemed to do that. He speaks very differently now. I'm not claiming more than that. I don't know more than that. But it does seem to me that the man has, if this kind of, and I'll call it persecution really, can't bring people to their knees, I'm not sure what can. And it seems to me that this barrage of the hatred toward him, which is nonstop, is having a humbling effect, which, of course, for all of us, God uses these kinds of bad experiences that we had to humble all of us. And so maybe that's the best outcome on this. So he spoke at Liberty. But meanwhile, in the press, it's just amazing. It is just amazing, the hatred. They smell blood in the water, you know. And so they think that they've got a chance here now to destroy him. I've got when I come across it, I've got a little graphic of how the press is covering this, of this whole business of Comey, the president. And, of course, they're claiming that the firing of James Comey, the FBI director last week, is just like Watergate, which is, of course, their battle cry. Watergate was the first time the press ever really did destroy a president. I had a front row seat to it. It was amazing. And they did very much the same that they're doing now. And I have to say, for those of you that are younger, and most of you are, and you think of Richard Nixon, you know, you think terrible, horrible, no good president. And that's, keep in mind that the narrative that you know is the one that was written by that same press who hated him, hated Richard Nixon. That doesn't mean Richard Nixon was a perfect person. I'm not claiming that. No man is. But I will tell you that the press went on a mission to destroy him, and they managed. They took a head. And he resigned in disgrace, and he's still held in disgrace. His name is disgraced. And you think that, can you imagine now? Knowing what you know and how you're watching them talk about Donald Trump, can you imagine that it's possible, maybe, that press reporters could print, could go on a barrage of attacks that could so damage a person's reputation that you might not have a complete picture of who that person actually was, and that history might stamp them in infamy when maybe they didn't deserve that? I mean, you're living in these times. You can observe for yourself what Donald Trump is doing. Do you think he deserves the infamy that they are reporting? You know, I listened to just a little bit of Fareed Zakaria. He's with CNN. He did some reporting on Trump over the weekend, and I just want you to hear this first part of this. If you are a CNN listener, watcher, and you're getting all of your information about the Trump White House and what's going on behind the scenes and the firing of FBI Director Comey from CNN, it might sound something like this.
As regular viewers know, I have tried to evaluate Donald Trump's presidency fairly. I've praised him when he has appointed competent people to high office, and he has, and expressed support for his policies when they seem serious and sensible, even though this has drawn criticism from some quarters. But there has always been another aspect to this presidency, lurking beneath the surface, sometimes erupting into full view as it did this week. Donald Trump, in much of his rhetoric and many of his actions, poses a danger to American democracy. What makes the American system of government distinctive is not how democratic it is, but rather the opposite. American democracy has a series of checks intended to prevent the accumulation and abuse of power by any one person or group. But there is one gaping hole in the system, the president. During his famous interviews with David Frost in 1977, Richard Nixon made a statement regarding Watergate that has been mockingly quoted ever since.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
In fact, Nixon was a smart lawyer and a close student of the American Constitution. He was basically right. The president, in effect, sits above the law. The Justice Department, after all, works for him. And as Trump told the New York Times regarding separating himself from his business empire, the law is totally on my side, meaning the president can't have a conflict of interest. Most lawyers say Trump is right. The rules don't really apply to the president.
All right. So thank you, Fareed, for your unbiased reporting. You know, I have to say, I don't think Fareed Zakaria and others at CNN said a word about the abuse of power of the Obama administration. And by the way, Comey, Director Comey, called Trump crazy after he claimed that the Obama administration wiretapped him, called him crazy. But now we know, you know, we know that wasn't crazy at all. We know from James Clapper's testimony. We know from the acting attorney general's testimony just last week that indeed they were observing. They were actually passing on the name of Donald Trump to other intelligence personnel so that they could listen in on what was being said by various staffers. They admitted that under oath. And so for the FBI director to think it was crazy that Donald Trump said that he was being wiretapped, he was being surveilled. In fact, Senator Paul is claiming that he also was surveilled, wiretapped, his phone conversations. And he said another senator has come forward to say that he was also surveilled by the Obama administration. Let's talk about lawlessness and abuse of power, Fareed. Let's talk about real abuse of power. And let's talk about an FBI director who hints repeatedly that the president might be, we're investigating, will not say publicly. We know that his deputy, McCabe, told the Trump White House that this Russia investigation was a bunch of blank, fill in the blank, but refused to publicly say officially from the FBI that the Russia investigation was really meritless. Wouldn't say that. The FBI director refused to say that. He would hint constantly in public, joining the game, joining the inference. And now Comey is calling Trump crazy. You know, I have to say, Michael James Walsh has a great article titled "Comey's Firing is a Gift to the FBI." And he says, on his watch, the FBI continued its politically correct, see no evil attitude toward radical Islam and thus failed to prevent the atrocity in San Bernardino. It also investigated the Orlando nightclub shooter for 10 months before closing its case, allowing him to kill or wound 102 people. Meanwhile, the Federal Office of Personnel Management was hacked by the Chinese, resulting in a serious data breach. That's failure on an unacceptable level. Now the Bureau is tied up and bogged down in the almost certainly chimerical Russian hacking fantasy, which bubbled up out of the leftist fever swamp in the wake of Clinton's loss in November, and for which there is exactly zero evidence. So when President Trump finally put Comey out of this, or our misery, last week, it was the best merited cashiering since Truman fired a showboating MacArthur. You know, I totally agree with him. I have to tell you, you know, McCabe said under oath that FBI employees are upset. You know, that includes, in fact, Jeff, delay this break a little bit so that we can come back. We're going to have Congressman Dave Brett with us at 25. And so we'll delay the break a little bit. We'll take it in just about 2 minutes, and we'll come back and have Congressman Dave Brad, because he had an incredible experience at his town hall last week, and I want to talk to him. But to go back to this whole Comey firing thing, when McCabe said under testimony last week, the FBI employees know that they are upset about it, I have to tell you that the language that he used was very misleading. He did not say FBI agents. He said it FBI employees. You have to know that in the Washington office at the FBI, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of clerical support help. They are very liberal. They are appointees. They are not going to be on the same page. They are very partisan. They certainly are upset, I'm sure, about Comey's firing. And many of them weighed on. We saw a little bit of this. He took his picture with me. He was nice to me. These are the kinds of comments being made. This is not coming from direct FBI agents. Now, some of them may say that. But trust me that when McCabe says He's talking about FBI employees. He's not talking about the agents, because my understanding is that the agents themselves were very upset with Comey. They feel that he has destroyed the reputation single-handedly of the Bureau, of a Bureau that they were proud to serve with, that they felt was beyond reproach, that had the people's respect, the last bastion of law and order in this country. And James Comey's waffling and politicizing of it was just appalling to many, many agents, not to the political agents. I'm sure McCabe wasn't appalled because his wife received $700,000 from Terry McAuliffe, Mrs. Clinton's right-hand bag man, and Mr. Clinton's, raising all kinds of money for them. Now the governor of Virginia, who gave McCabe's wife $700,000 to run for Senate as a Democrat. They are Democrats. They like Mrs. Clinton. They're tied to her at the hip. So McCabe is not going to be happy that Comey was fired, because Comey was doing what he could to help Mrs. Clinton. So you see, it's just kind of a mess, and you cannot believe everything that you hear. And I guess the thing that we can hope and pray, which I do, is that the truth will finally win out. And by the way, some wonderful things are happening under Donald Trump. I want to share with he set up just last week, if we don't have a chance to itemize today, an election commission to investigate what terrible things have happened in our election process under the Barack Obama administration. Meanwhile, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, has reversed the horrible policies of Eric Holder on releasing criminals too soon into our states, to our streets, increasing crime and putting us in danger. The employment is the lowest it's been in decades. And so some things are happening that are good. We'll talk about them later when we come back. A Congressman Dave Brat.
Abortion impacts women who are poor and disadvantaged, but fear of poverty drives many women too. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart Today. Lauren Roman was the stereotypical overachiever, landing a role in daytime TV at age 19, but she felt she couldn't even let her parents know about her secret abortion at 18. As she struggled with an eating disorder, Lauren learned to trade perfectionism for faith in Jesus Christ, and she shared the truth with her family. She says they were crushed because they would have been there for me. Yet even though there's a grandchild missing from her parents' lives, Lauren has found true success and real beauty in helping others make a better choice. Find out more about Lauren's story and the hope for the grief abortion brings at CradleMyHeart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. Find us online at CradleMyHeart.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. Have you ever wondered why God put such a priority on the sharing of your faith from Genesis to Revelation? Before he placed you in your mother's womb, he set you apart to be his spokesman. He appointed you as his ambassador and admonished you to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and to love your neighbors as much as you love yourself, with a warning that if you don't, if you deny him before man, he'll deny you before his Father. That's heavy. Why is the sharing your faith so critical? Because it compels you to know him more so you can share him more effectively. That the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in you for the sake of Christ. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everybody you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Blake Bramlett. I graduated in May of 2016, and I graduated with a degree in interdisciplinary studies, focusing in psychology and missions. The professors here at TMU have really impacted my life in more than one way. In the classroom, of course, but really, honestly, what makes the experience at Truett better is that they're mentors to us.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
A professor at Northern Arizona University told a student to stop reading his Bible before class. History major Mark Holden tells me he was ordered to leave the lecture hall after his professor pitched a fit about the Word of God. The professor's identified as Heather Martell. She had a problem with Mark reading his Bible in the front of her class. That's what the dean of the history department said. Mark recorded that conversation. I posted the audio on my website, toddstearns.com. The professor also took issue with previous comments comments Mark made about Islam. She labeled his remarks as hate speech, a charge Mark denies. The professor also demanded that Mark respect her. The university did not return my calls for comment, so we really do not know if Mark was being belligerent or something else, but I doubt that's the case. Based on the recording, the cold hard reality is Mark was yanked out of that classroom for reading the Bible. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
That's a protest in New Haven, Connecticut. That's the resist movement. Trump and Pence have got to go. And what they're doing is they shut down a street when an ambulance was trying to get through. My understanding is this just happened in Chicago as well. And I don't know. It's unverified, but the report is that someone in the ambulance died. This protest movement, this resist movement, is taking place in the press. It's taking place in also in the streets. It's got so many tentacles. It's well-funded by people like George Soros, by the Tides Foundation, by the Rockefeller Foundation. And the intent is destruction of this country. You just have to know that. They are set against you and me, Americans who love this country. We are the wicked evil ones. And it is an effort to overthrow and undermine anything that is traditionally American. I'm not sure what their end game is. I'm not sure if the people in the streets actually know what it is they're looking at. But that's exactly what they're trying to do. This past weekend, Betsy DeVos was speaking, at a black college. And this is how she was met. Cut three.
Continues. Your degrees will be mailed to you. Choose which way you want to go. Graduates to be, would you please be seated? Graduates, would you please be seated?
As I said, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be with you today. While we will undoubtedly disagree at times, I hope we can do so respectfully.
All right, so that's Betsy DeVos, what she met. And this is a black college. Bethune-Cookman, the president tried to stop. Don't you love it when your computer talks to you without permission? So they totally shut down her speech. She was not able to speak at all. They just kept shouting and screaming. And finally, the president threatened them. You know, if you don't stop, we're gonna stop this ceremony. We're just gonna send your diplomas to you. You choose. And so, it is the breakdown of civil society everywhere, it seems. And I wanted to introduce our friend Congressman Dave Brett, who just joined us, because at a town hall just this past week in Virginia. He had a similar situation. As a matter of fact, let's listen to just a second of it. This is cut five. This was the town hall that took place in Virginia just last week for Congressman Dave Brett. Let's listen.
As a seminary graduate, do you believe in the separation of church and state? Would it be acceptable to you for churches to support specific candidates?
Absolutely. All right. I'm in the Constitution. They got it pretty good.
But Trump just
the politics should not establish any religion. Right? We're part of the world. Everybody know that?
But you should all, on the First Amendment, have free expression thereof. Right? So I am more than ready. And now, getting a little deeper, one step deeper, do you want a total separation of church and state?
Yeah!
Right? Let me check you on that a little bit. I don't think it's good. Someone else said you believe healthcare is a right. In the Western tradition, in my tradition, rights come from...
All right, so that's kind of the way it sounded. And of course, if you couldn't hear that, rights come from, he says, and they say, man. Congressman Dave Brat joins us this morning. Congressman, good morning and welcome, first of all. Hello. All right. Well, yeah, now I can hear you good. I can hear you. Oh, thanks for joining us, Congressman. Tell us the situation. Like, who was in that audience?
Yeah, well, that was the funny part. I mean, it's tragic, but it was funny at the same time. It's about 800 people, probably about 600 Democrats, and I was with Senator Amanda Chase, who's also awesome, and they identified as over all Hillary voters, Bernie voters. They booed the preacher. They booed the prayer. They booed... I said, how many of you want a tax cut? They booed that. They wanted tax increases. I said, how many want a bigger federal government? They all cheered for bigger federal government. I said, how many want more federal regulations? They all cheered for more federal regulations. So that, and it's all on tape. So that's who was in the room. And I just want to make it very clear to my Democratic friends out there, this was not your father's Democratic Party, right? This was not the Oldsmobile. This is something very new and toxic. They're not liberals. They're not classical liberals that respect the rights and the free speech of others. They're deconstructing every institution we hold dear, right? Whether it's the church, free markets, the rule of law, the hard left is just in total opposition. It's a small number, but they're very loud. They're very vocal. And so it's very hard to hold any public forums now when they disrupt in that way that you just heard.
This was in a church, right?
Yeah, in a church, right? And they booed the prayer. They booed the preacher while during prayer.
You know, I have to just give this some context for people around the country. Congressman Dave Brat won his election resoundingly when he beat Eric Cantor in a totally surprise upset. And I know personally, because I've gotten to know the people in his district, that he's very popular. The people in Virginia of the 7th district, 7th, right? They really have great respect for Congressman Brat, and so it's very interesting. I'm guessing that past town halls have not been like this. Is this the first experience you've had with this opposition?
No, everything post President Trump, that was the line, right? 2 years prior, not a beep. But right after President Trump won the election, oh boy, we had another one in Blackstone a couple months ago, same thing. The indivisible group, Resist, they had the red cards. They put up the red cards in unison. And the press didn't notice those, which was, I mean, it was almost laughable, right? I mean, everyone's putting up red cards. I told the press, after you notice the red cards, you might want to Google indivisible. And in this town hall, one of the local papers called me up. They said, were you upset with the what happened? And I said, not at all. Those are citizens, constituents, they have every right to act out. I said the only thing I'm very disappointed with was the media coverage. You did not cover what happened in that room. You didn't cover that they booed God, and so the left is at it again, covering for the hard left when there's no excuse for this type of moral behavior. And I went off for about 10 minutes in a row on pre-existing conditions, on serious news-worthy pieces. And the audience actually was quiet for some of that. They wanted to hear. And I covered it. I held up a copy of the bill itself with the language that pre-existing conditions remains the law of the land under Obamacare. We didn't get rid of it. And none of it reported in the local newspapers and hardly at all in any of the national news. And so, I mean, that's the shocker, right? And then there's major breaking news on the moral front with the booing of the prayer and this kind of thing. No reporting. They just report 700 people booed Dave Brat. That's the headline in the local papers and in some of the other papers, right? As if the politician's the bad guy, in the mob that has no manners and is violating all civil rules of rationality and discourse have, you know, the right, and they're the good guys. And so until we get the media right, more heroes like you out there doing their job and respecting the country, we're in trouble.
My understanding, was CNN there, Congressman?
Yeah, CNN, NBC, ABC, all the biggies, and then my local papers were all there, the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I wouldn't cover the newsworthy aspects I wanted covered. And then today they note, I said, well, if you're not going to cover it, I'm not going to do a piece. And so today with the Richmond Times-Dispatch, they put in there, Dave Bratt wouldn't respond because we wouldn't guarantee him three paragraphs.
Oh,
I mean, just
boy.
Almost kind of an attitude of back and forth. All I want to do is get news coverage. And so they come back and they report on the front. It's the lead newspaper, right? We contact Dave Bratt, but he said he wouldn't do anything. But they didn't report the rest of the story. I said I wouldn't because I've spent major time with their reporters in the past giving all sorts of news, and they won't print it. All they'll print is the damaging parts or the political parts where there's little hits. And they don't report the major news stories of the day, like pre-existing conditions. Before Comey, that was the issue last week.
Well, and of course, we need to explain that Northern Virginia is close to all the media outlets, and you are a special interest to them because you did beat Eric Cantor. You are sort of an object of ire by the establishment because of your defeat of Eric Cantor. And so you don't have a lot of friends, certainly in the media and certainly not in the establishment Republican camp, and they're happy to misrepresent and to see anything bad happen to you because they would love nothing more than to take that seat back. Congressman, I'm going to go back to your constituents because they do love you. I know that. Are they coming to these meetings, and how are they responding?
Yeah, I mean, they're coming, but they know my views already. And you know, luckily, like you say, I have strong support, and it's growing stronger by the day. The average Virginian, you know, has Jefferson and Madison and all the greats in their blood. They are a very respectful, mannered people in Commonwealth. They do not like this, and so I have Democrat people coming up to me, going out to eat in church yesterday. Say, Dave, just keep doing what you're doing. We need somebody's got to be the grown up in the room. So, and you can want an hour and a half people yelling at me. I never returned fire. I tried to keep a positive attitude. My local papers did report that, right? That I held a positive attitude, but the papers won't report the news part, right? Where you get into substance because the left is losing across the board on every front, and like the Comey news right now, right? There's no Mark Warner's on all the Sunday shows saying, oh, there's a lot of smoke. There's a lot of smoke with this Russia. There's a lot of smoke. Oh, really? What room of the house is the smoke in, Senator Warner? What's the smoke look like? Can you give me anything relevant about the smoke? Nope, nothing. And so the left just gets to play around with these little motifs they construct that are non-factual. They have no details they can offer you, and yet they just play around as if the Republicans are guilty of something that they can't find or name.
Yeah. And so it's just inference. It's inference. It's like the game of gossip. It's the way you say it. It isn't the substance of it. And by the way,
right.
Jeff, let's delay this break by 5 minutes, and we'll keep Congressman on just five more minutes, and then I know you have to go.
Right.
All right. Let's spend this few minutes then going back to what it is. If they had been polite enough, had enough integrity to actually listen to you, repeat again the points that you made, especially on the separation of church and state. When they were asked if they wanted the full separation, they cheered wildly. And tell us again your response to that, where we can hear it better.
Yes, I just said in the first place, I said the founders got it right, right? There should be no establishment of a religion, no one believes in coercing our religion on others, comma, and then free expression thereof. And then I said, are you in favor of a total separation of church and state? Because I could sense that. And so they erupted into, you could hear that. I just want to check you on that. Let's be careful. You're saying rights, you know, you want health care rights and all these rights. I said, but in our Western tradition, you all know rights come from God. And it's the job of the government to protect those rights. And I said, that's the basis of our system in Western civ for hundreds and hundreds of years. And, oh, just in a crushing booze, right? Anything with the foundational aspects being linked back to God, and this is all Jeffersonian, right? Inalienable rights from our Creator. I mean, this is not something new. This is the thing every kid learns about in social science class from the time they go to, you know, K to five, all the way on up to adulthood. And so that is news. That is shocking news. And that is not the Democratic Party that we all used to know. Something very, very new and toxic is brewing.
You know, Congressman, this is kind of similar to Donald Trump's complaints about the press conferences, which are gotcha sessions. It's all about getting the press secretary on a detail, an idea. This is not new. This has been happening since the 70s, where the press has been just rabid and adversarial, except for with Democratic presidents. They're very kind to them.
Right.
But Donald Trump is saying maybe we should not have press conferences anymore. So my question to you is, are town halls of any benefit? Under these circumstances, are they of any benefit?
Well, I think what they are, in the sense that we taped it and now the word is getting out, right? And so immediately the tone set by the organized resistance movements, at first it doesn't feel that way, but in the end you've got to have that confrontation of ideas and of behaviors in public so people can see the contrast between one side behaving themselves, engaging in rational discourse, and the other side just blowing up everything and then booing everything under the sun and having no constructive set of ideas at all. And so but the media needs to cover that. And so we're trying to get what happened and those ideas and film clips out so the public can see it, and then they'll make up their mind. And the Democratic Party's in trouble, right, because President Trump just went through the Midwest, Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, et cetera, right? This is the breadbasket, upper, manufacturing center, God-fearing, all America. I grew up in Detroit and middle of Michigan, and I know those folks, right? And they do not like this new hostile hard left part, I guarantee it. And so we won four states last time. And if they keep on this path, we're going to clear the board, right? We'll win everything.
Yeah, I wonder. And you know, the thing about it is, there are some substantive things happening, like that election commission that the president just established. It didn't make the news last week, but it still got established, and they're actually going to investigate all of the nefarious things that have been happening in the voting booth. And those are meaningful things, Congressman, that could actually affect these elections, and maybe, God willing, that we can get around these. Not obstructionist is too kind. These subversive revolutionaries, and actually establish more control through the ballot box in the right way. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. That's right. And so he's being constructive on that front. And the unmasking part also, we have evidence. There's not smoke there, right? On the unmasking, the intelligence agencies are supposed to just have these haystacks of billions of data points. That they weren't supposed to be able to go and identify whether it's you or me or somebody else talking on the phone. Well, it turns out they could do that. We were assured they would never do that. Turns out that's not true either, right? So they can go in there and identify now. So we have major issues, and it seems that Senator Warner would spend more time on that, where we have evidence showing up already, not just conjecture and hopeful scenarios he's wishing for.
Well, we just... All I can say is I have grown up to believe, and I've seen it happen. The Soviet Union was in a sea of lies for 60 years. You couldn't penetrate it. But finally the walls came down and truth did prevail. So I don't know where we're headed with this, but I just think our task is to be like the Solzhenitsyns. We must speak the truth. We must speak the truth. And I think in the end it will have power. So Congressman Brad, it's always a pleasure and always a privilege. And so take care. And God bless you for those great points you made in that meeting. We just hope that some people were actually listening.
Yep.
Thank you.
God bless you. You're a hero. You're the media that does make a difference, that still has a conscience. And so God bless you. Thank you for all you do, Sandy.
Thank you, Congressman. All right. We'll talk again soon. All right. Sandy Rios on AFR Talk.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Did you know if a Palestinian is convicted for terrorism in an Israeli court, the longer the terrorist stays in jail, the more money their family receives from the Palestinian Authority? Did you know if the terrorist dies as a result of their attack against Israelis, the terrorist's family will receive annual payments from the PA greater than the average Palestinian annual salary? Did you know the U.S. gives the Palestinian Authority over $300 million per year? That means American taxpayers provide this blood money.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
The political and cultural landscape of our nation will continue to undergo major changes with the shift in power in our nation's capital. All the issues we care about, religious liberty, the sanctity of life and marriage, national security, immigration, and the economy will be up for debate. Focal Point will help you process it all from a biblical perspective live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 3 Central on American Family Radio. I'm your congenial, convivial, and amiable host, Brian Fisher, and I approve this message.
Back in 07, my father passed away. My mother had passed away 7 years earlier, and they left me a small inheritance, and I wanted to give back to AFA for all they have done for me.
Carol talks about her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I am an avid listener to AFR, 12 hours a day, and I hear Dan Celia talking about the charitable gift annuity. I liked what the gift annuity offered, donated a certain amount, and from that, I get a check every month, which is retirement income for me.
If you'd like to support the work of the AFA and receive a fixed income for life, a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation may just be what you're looking for. Learn more by contacting the Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The new president of South Korea received a nasty welcome Sunday from his North Korean counterpart. Kim Jong-un's regime fired yet another ballistic missile on a very steep trajectory, perhaps demonstrating a capability to conduct an electromagnetic pulse attack that could devastate the South with a single nuclear detonation outside the atmosphere. This must have come as a shock to President Moon Jae-in. After all, he ran on a pledge to defuse tensions with North Korea by traveling there and negotiating directly with its tyrant. Such appeasement now would only invite still more aggressive behavior from Kim Jong-un. So would Mr. Moon's promised removal of the recently deployed U.S. THAAD anti-missile system. After all, it protects not only our South Korean allies, it is required to defend the thousands of U.S. troops there as well. Buck up, President Moon. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
There is just one real check on the president, impeachment. And it is political, not legal. Since Trump's own party controls both chambers of Congress, there has been little resistance to him there. So far, it appears that the Republican Party is losing any resemblance to a traditional Western political party, instead simply turning into something more commonly found in the developing world, a platform to support the ego, appetites, and interests of one man and his family. There are other less potent checks on the power of the president. Some are structural, others simply a matter of morality or precedent. Trump has sought to destroy almost every one of these, both before the election and now in the White House.
All right, Fareed Zakaria from CNN. According to him, and according to CNN, and according to the steady diet of this kind of reporting on Donald Trump. He is the world's most evil leader, doing horrible things to this country, abusing his power. I don't see that. I see him appointing a Supreme Court justice, which is in his power. I see him writing executive orders to protect our borders and the people that come in here, which is in his power, and both in terms of statutes, laws, but also in terms of constitutional authority. I see him doing things that he is absolutely able to do, including the two things I mentioned earlier, which I will tell you with more detail here. General Sessions, Attorney General Sessions, issued a guidance to the 94 U.S. attorneys' offices, instructing them to pursue more stringent charges in most federal cases, which is a complete reversal from the policies of the Obama administration. The Holder-era DOJ gutted the mandatory minimum statutes from the 80s that were so effective in bringing down crime levels over the past two decades. By the way, this is by Daniel Horowitz in the Conservative Review. Obama also released a record 1,715 people from prison, and contrary to public perception, they were not merely low-level drug offenders. Those who wind up in federal prisons are bad hombres, to say the least. And now Attorney General Sessions has instructed U.S. attorneys to reverse course and charge and pursue the most serious and readily provable offense. The Sessions memo says, by definition, the most serious offenses are those that carry the most substantial guideline sentences, including mandatory minimum sentences. And so this is something that's happening under the Trump administration. It is reining in the lawlessness, releasing criminals on our streets and calling it good when it is not good. That happened under Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder. And then also, in terms of the Election Integrity Commission that was established just last week in the midst of the Comey firing, you probably didn't hear about this. This is incredible. You know, our friend J. Christian Adams calls the Obama years the Wild West of voter fraud. And so they are establishing this commission, which will include Ken Blackwell, the former Secretary of State of Ohio, and also Chris Kobach, the former Secretary of State of Kansas, who is a firebrand on this issue. And so the left is going to, yeah, that's why they're trying to stop Donald Trump. These are the kinds of reasons. These are the very reasons. And, of course, in terms of the judiciary, there are something like 130 vacancies in the federal judiciary, and Donald Trump is using a good list of conservative justices, who conservative meaning they actually believe in the Constitution and want to uphold the law. And so there is a great list of them, and that's the list from which he will be drawing his appointees. Of course, they're trying to stop him. They're trying to get him out. They want to impeach him. They are desperate to impeach him. In fact, let's listen to Fareed in Cut 10, because he goes on with his vitriol. Let's listen.
This week, he summarily dismissed FBI Director James Comey, reportedly over his investigation of Russian collusion in the American election. If true, the firing would be a shattering blow. The nonpartisan agencies of the executive branch are jewels of the modern American system. They were not always impartial, and they are certainly not perfect, but in recent decades, they have acquired a well-deserved reputation.
Okay, hang on a second. He was not fired because he was investigating the Russian connection. He was fired because of their very long and agreed upon series of actions that he did. I heard Michael Mukasey, former attorney general, yesterday on Wall Street Journal report on Fox, talking about how Comey's behavior was just out of bounds, that he did not have a right. He should never have appeared before the cameras and laid out the alleged offenses by Mrs. Clinton and then summarily decided in that press conference not to bring charges. That is not his job. The FBI is the investigative branch of the Justice Department. The FBI does not bring charges. The Justice Department brings charges. And yet Comey declared this was a lawless act. It really was. And so there's just no question that he acted outside of the bounds of his jurisdiction. And for no other reason, that's exactly why he was dismissed. Of course, Trump was mad at him. Can you blame him? Do you want a president to do what other politicians do, smile and act like everything's fine, or use strong words like Mitch McConnell, that's not good that they did that? No, you see Donald Trump, who speaks honestly from his heart. He's angry. He's furious. He feels like he's been played by Director Comey, and I think he has been too. So he's mad. You know, I'm grateful that he's mad. I think mad is kind of good. I think the right kind of anger is good. And I don't have. And then they're talking about the discrediting the fact that the acting attorney general, the assistant attorney general, wrote the memo upon which they based the legal basis for firing Comey. And now they're saying because Donald Trump was mad at him earlier and wanted him gone, according to him in this interview with Lester Holt, that somehow that's wrong. Why can't both be true? It doesn't offend me at all to think that Donald Trump wanted Comey gone earlier. I did too. I mean, I think many of us were disappointed that he didn't fire Comey right away or let him go or dismiss him. And we always wondered about that. I think it was a mistake. But on the other hand, do you think for a minute if Donald Trump had dismissed James Comey immediately after he was inaugurated, that it would have been any different than it is now? Donald Trump is right. There was no good time to do this because the press hates him, and they will not, no matter what he says, if he says red is black and black is red, it will be torn apart and dissected and criticized and reported with a tone of voice that has the inference that he's up to something no good. It's really a no-win situation. And so, by the way, James Clapper was out on the Sunday talk shows. Excuse me. You have to understand James Clapper is a liar. He's lied under oath before Congress. And I have a feeling that probably he's at the center of this unmasking. Of course, we don't know because the FBI director has refused to let the president know who unmasked the names of the people who were caught on these private telephone conversations. We don't really know who the illegal unmasker is because the FBI director is protecting them, would not tell us. And that's another thing that made Trump mad. It would make me mad too, furious, in fact. And I have a feeling James Clapper's name might be on that list. Don't call me crazy. But now he's on the Sunday shows. He smells blood in the water, trying to save, you know, I'm sure he was a little worried. I'm just guessing. This is speculation on my part. I'm guessing he was a little worried about what they might discover and who might actually have done that unmasking and passing that information along conveniently to press and other places, illegally, by the way. So James Clapper now is, he says, bottom line is, I don't know if there was collusion, and I don't know of any, that's cut off. Okay, so when James Clapper himself and virtually everyone else with knowledge of the witch hunt says there is no collusion, when does it end? The president tweeted on Friday, and he's right about that. So James Clapper's now on these Sunday shows inferring. He says that the firing was very disturbing and that the country's systems of checks and balances was under assault. I don't think so. That's ridiculous. You do understand that the FBI director himself is not the one conducting any investigation into this alleged collusion with Russia. It is the agents, the departments, the teams that are underneath him, and they are not stopping. So that is just ridiculous. So, but the assault continues because the end game is the impeachment or the removal of Donald Trump. And so, and it is an assault against the country. It's not that Donald Trump does everything right or that he's a perfect person, but he's doing a lot of really good things on behalf of this country. Jobs are coming home. The economy is improving. The unemployment rate is going down. He's looking into election integrity. He stopped the forcing of school boards to impose transgender bathrooms on, you know, straight kids and changing facilities. So he's done some great things, and he's going to be nominating some really good judges, which could really be the turning point in this country. No wonder they are getting desperate to remove him. So we need to pray for him and his family and the people serving in the White House. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.